Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, if you're planning a wedding, or maybe you just got engaged over the Christmas, you'll probably have some questions for my next guest. But what exactly does a wedding planner do? Lindsay Moyna, who's the founder of Wendor and House of Hannah Weddings and Events, is with me in studio for this Friday's Ask Me Anything. Lindsay, good afternoon. How are you?
Happy New Year, Andrea. How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all, actually. How did you get into wedding and event planning?
Yeah, well, I took a very, very scenic route into becoming a wedding planner. I guess I was first exposed to the world of weddings. I grew up playing the harp, so from a very young age, I used to play the harp at weddings and the weekends. I studied science in college, but I ultimately became a touring musician, was exposed to kind of other events, and I worked with an event company. I also was a BRM with our family business. So I have lots of varied experience. And eventually, after winning a wedding planning competition many years ago...
I entered.
I was working in the family business at the time as a business relationship manager, and I loved the job and everything like that. But I saw this ad for a competition, and I entered it. And honestly, from that point forward, I just got the bug. I joined another girl, and we started a destination wedding blog called Flyaway Bride. And eventually, then I just plucked up the courage to start House of Hannah. So yeah, it's been going great for the last 10 years, and no regrets.
Yeah. So there isn't, I suppose, a such formal training required,
no.
But I imagine some level of event or marketing management.
Yeah, or hospitality is a great way to kind of enter this industry as well. Like if you work in a hotel, for example, where they host a lot of weddings, you'll be very, you know, used to seeing the kind of the run of the day, I guess, as well. So it's a great way to get into it. But certainly, while there's loads of different courses that kind of cover the topic of weddings in particular, I think the best experience you can get is actually interning for another company, you know, or working freelance in the area. For sure.
A lot of questions coming in over the last hour and a half, Lindsay, for you today from listeners. Some interested in what you do and how difficult it is to deal with bridezillas and I suppose groomzillas as well. But a lot of people too getting in touch who have got engaged in recent weeks and they're thinking about weddings. It's on their mind at home, abroad.
Yep.
You know, they're looking for kind of a level of, I suppose, impartial advice on that. Get those questions into us. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. You can send us in a voice note. You can give us a call if you want to talk to Lindsay yourself. 1800 453 106. Our first question, Lindsay, is in from Farida.
Hi, I'm just wondering what the difference is between what you do as a wedding planner and what the wedding planner at a venue does. Thank you.
That's a great question. Yes, and I actually often get asked that. As an independent wedding planner, we're always hired by the couple or their family, and there's we more or less touch every single part of the wedding. So a lot of the time when we're hired, we're actually hired before a venue is even chosen. So we would do a lot of the venue searching based on the criteria that the couple might have, and then all the other vendors as well. Whereas the coordinator at a venue, they play a super important role, and we would be working with them closely throughout. But essentially, they're hired by the venue, so their focus is typically on all activities that take place at the venue, and their job is essentially to make sure that the event itself, once the couple are on site, runs really, really smoothly. So we work very well together, but we would kind of touch all aspects of the wedding, from budgeting, logistics, you know, we'd go through verbiage on an invitation, whereas a coordinator at a venue wouldn't really be that involved.
They're not involved in your personal, I suppose,
but crucial to the whole process.
Yeah, okay. That was a question from one of our listeners. This is Farida's voice note.
Hi, I was just wondering, if you were getting married at Christmas, when would be a good time to send out the saved dates?
Yeah, I mean, Christmas is an extremely busy time for, you know, everybody. You know, you have your office parties, you've got, you know, it's typically a time when all of your friends and everything start meeting up as well. So we would always recommend that you get your invitations or your save the dates out a little bit earlier than you normally would. If it's a destination wedding, you know, anything from 6 months to a year, depending on if it's a save the date or an invitation, is a good timeline. But if it's a more local wedding, we would probably recommend about the 4 month mark. Some things to note on Christmas weddings as well, just because we're just after coming out of that season, is to consider consider having an earlier ceremony as well, just because, you know, the light goes a lot quicker. You know, it's kind of dark by 4 o'clock. So it'll tend to be a longer day for folks as well.
Now, this texter is wondering, has Lindsay ever had to deal with any huge family disputes during a wedding, and how did she handle them? It's been the trickiest part of planning my wedding so far.
I would say I'm part wedding planner and part psychologist. So yeah, a lot
mediator.
Of the calls. Yeah, 100%.
And
actually, it's sometimes easier for me to get involved in those situations and be one part removed.
Tell us those good stories. What have you had to settle?
Oh, I've had everything from guests who weren't invited turning up to weddings.
They did not.
Yeah.
And there were.
Yeah. And look, the thing is, it's so different to a corporate event in that, like, planning a wedding, you're dealing with personal finances. So, like, every decision that is made, you know, it's usually not just the couple, you know, family members are involved, and it's also emotionally charged.
I'm sorry. Can we just for a moment? So people aren't invited to weddings and they actually do show up.
Well, it happened a couple of years ago. Oh, it was a tricky. I'm afraid to say anything now in case that person might be listening.
Yeah. Well, maybe don't say where it was.
No, it was kind of a tricky situation. It was an uncle brought a new partner and her children to the wedding. So we suddenly had to try find extra seats, and obviously it was a bit of an issue on the day. But, yeah. You know, more from a, you know, people weren't too happy about it.
Okay, we've this voice note in from Rory.
Hi, Lindsay. I was wondering, can you enjoy weddings anymore when you go to them and you don't organise them? Or are you kind of noticing details and thinking about how things can be better all the time? Thanks.
I am a great guest at a wedding. I can say I do not go into work mode usually at a wedding. No, I will be the first on the dance floor. I really enjoy attending a wedding if it's for family and friends. Like, there are, I have been to a few where I've noticed maybe one recently where a mic wasn't working well, so I will run and I'll find batteries or something like that, you know, if needs be, but I generally don't interfere. People are well able to organise their own weddings and I'm very happy to be a guest.
Now, how much does Lindsay think it's possible to bargain down places on their prices? We've been given a couple of quotes from venues and I'm wondering, have I got any real chance of trying to get them reduced?
No, look, it's a tricky one. There's never really any harm in asking, but I don't know, is that around venues in particular or vendors?
Well, they don't say, but I assumed it is. Like, I would have thought from friends that have got married in recent years, like, a lot of venues, hotels, whatever, places, they just have a set price.
They do.
Like, it's 50 quid per head, it's 80 quid per head,
yeah,
it's 100
exactly.
quid per head, whatever.
It depends how busy they are as a venue. If it's a venue where you found it hard to get a date in the first place, you won't negotiate with them. They have their set pricing and they will get the next person. So, you know, you might have more luck maybe looking for something extra within the package. But generally speaking, if it's a very busy venue where they have a high volume of weddings every year and you've struggled to get a couple of dates with them as an option, I wouldn't even chance negotiating. If it's somewhere, you know, maybe where they don't take on as many, you know, I would have a conversation maybe and look, we don't need this particular part that you're offering in a package. Can we maybe do this instead? But I think in this, that kind of day of negotiating, even with vendors as well, is, in my experience, gone.
It's gone. Okay, we've this voice note from Claire.
What's the most ridiculous type of wedding you've had to plan? Like, for example, have you ever had to plan like
a themed wedding?
I have never had what I could call a ridiculous wedding. We do kind of very large scale weddings in that they might be over 3 or 4 days. So there's a lot involved in that. You know, it's not just one event. It's, you know, 3 or 4 large events.
There's pre-reception drinks. There's day two.
In terms of themes, I've been doing this a long time and I can't really recall anything that it was too out there. We do, like, I mean, when we're involved with a client, we do try to steer them away from, you know, unless it's a huge passion of theirs or something that they have done always and as part of their life, you know, where it's kind of dotted throughout the day. But in terms of like large kind of thematic weddings, they tend to date and we don't want them to have that regret. Mm. So we will have a huge conversation around, you know, introducing certain elements. You know, we've had golf fanatics before where, you know, we've had events and golf courses or, you know, maybe a competition. So small things like that, but stuff that was very meaningful to the couple.
To the person themselves.
Yeah, we haven't done anything too outlandish to date.
Okay, we've this voice note in from Sinead.
How do you deal with bridezillas?
I don't. I don't is the
How
short
do you
answer.
Manage to avoid that?
So look, I mean, I don't know if I should be saying this out loud, but we interview couples as much as they're interviewing us at this stage. And that is, you know, for everybody's sake.
Right.
In my job, I will be hearing from some of my couples at 2 a.m. in the morning all weekend. It is essential that we like get on really, really well. And I will say nearly all of the brides and grooms that I've had, we've remained friends to this day. So there is a bit of a process there, making sure that we are the right fit for the couple. And that's because we want to essentially add to their whole experience of wedding planning. So I don't deal with bridezillas.
Okay. So have you ever turned couples down then?
I have, yeah, yeah. I have.
Because
yeah.
they're just the one that were total divas.
We didn't align, let's put it that way.
That's a great line. That's a very, very now diplomatic way of saying you're a dose.
And that's for their benefit as much as ours. Now, I have had a few situations where I've gotten on great with the couple, but maybe, you know, that a parent might have gotten over enthusiastic at some point down the line and it's causing a few issues and you're kind of trying to mediate in the middle. But no, generally, I mean, I've been extremely lucky. Yeah. I've had the
greatest couples. Are there red flags, Lindsay? What are the red flags for you?
Look, I think it's trying to set expectations from the outset. Sometimes we get on calls and, you know, they might, and it's not even their fault, because in the day of Pinterest and Instagram, it's very easy to see something and expect that you can achieve the same. So sometimes it's a hard conversation with people to, you know, when they're sending me pictures of weddings that have flowers literally everywhere and their budget doesn't match up, that can be kind of a hard conversation. So depending on the reaction to that, yeah. I'll kind of know, are we going to fit in with them or not?
Now, that's my question, actually. Mm-hmm. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. If you want to talk to Lindsay, it's 1800 453 106. Do couples expect that you are going to be able to get them bargain prices, great discounts, loads of things thrown in because you've got fairly regular relationships with a lot of these suppliers and vendors that you're dealing with?
Well, yes and no. It depends on, I guess, the overall budget in the first place. Sometimes, you know, we're just going out trying to get, you know, the best option in terms of a fit and you know, we're managing the budget. So we know what the expectation is there, that we can't go over, et cetera, et cetera. If we ever get, if a vendor ever comes to us and says, we'd like to give you an extra hour, say in photography, we'll always pass that on. And I would, like a word of caution as well, there are planners maybe out there that will probably give you a better base deal, but it is important to ask the question, you know, are they getting... when they choose the vendors, is there a kickback there? Because that might be how they're making up the difference there. Or is there an additional cost there? Because ultimately then the couple isn't doing very well out of it. But in our business, you know, our job is to find the best fit with the budget that we are actually managing ourselves as well, and put it forward. And if we can get anything extra in there, we always try. But I have to say, we work with some amazing vendors who go above and beyond. So they don't generally look at their contract and what, you know, they'll give us extra hours and things like that. But it's not really, you know, set in stone.
Okay. Does Lindsay know any good DIY wedding venues in Ireland? So we're looking for just a nice space that you can rent out, but then actually do everything yourself.
Yeah, there's plenty of those. If you look at kind of more the exclusive rental properties, they're different to a hotel in that you will pay a rental fee for the house itself, or it could be a barn. There's a good few. And if that person emailing in wants to contact me, I can forward on plenty. But the idea would be that you would rent out the space and then you bring everything in. So you would choose your own caterer, for example. Oftentimes the perk is that you can bring in your own wine.
Booze,
without
corkage. Yeah.
And then you can decorate it to your heart's content. But if you go to a hotel, then there's limitations on that. They might have a wedding the day before, so you kind of can't maybe do as much. In terms of DIY, I would, you know, make sure that you have that well planned out. If it is a big DIY wedding, you want to make sure you can get in a couple of days in advance as well, because nothing happens overnight. And you want to be able to have enough time so that the day before, if you're doing it all yourself, that you can actually relax and enjoy it. And don't forget about the teardown.
Taking it down.
You know, if you've had a great night, it's probably the last thing you want to do the following day is to tear a venue out.
Okay, we've a voice note from Liam.
If you could please ask your wedding event planner if she's ever looking for either pre-event or during the event musicians, entertainment at the events that she might manage.
Yes, we are always on the lookout for new performers, new vendors that we can work with. So please do get in touch by Instagram or our email address, and send us, you know, we look at portfolios. If you're playing anywhere, it's always great to go see, because obviously we want to be able to comfortably recommend forward to our clients.
Interesting one. Listeners wondering about more casual food at a wedding, like the food truck, pizzas, burritos or something like that. Does it always have to be the formal meal? Is that really what guests still want? Well, my answer to that's yes.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, if I'm going to your wedding and I'm giving you a decent present, I don't want a burrito. Yeah.
Well, they work really well if you're going to do, say, a day two. But I would at least set the tone if that's kind of the wedding that you want to put on or that you're going to host, you know, in your invitation, that it's going to be a bit more like that, perhaps through a wedding website. You know, you would be able to do something along those lines if you hire out one of these kind of exclusive hire venues that I've been talking about. Mm. We have kind of more free reign over catering. And yeah, I mean, for kind of more of a festival vibe wedding, that works really, really well. But I think you need to kind of set that tone in advance. And yeah, I mean, look, we would tend to put that on more for a day two or a pre-evening.
Okay. Lindsay Moyna, founder of Wendor, House of Hannah Weddings and Events. Thanks a million, Lindsay,
for
answering.
Thanks for having
me. Our listeners' questions. I imagine it must be just a really nice, fun and glam job when things are going well. That's all we have time for on the show today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday. On News Talk.